This is The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk to researchers and innovators about how to better feed the world. Hello, I'm your host, Taylor Holterman. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Food Fix. When I say pumpkin, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Seriously. I'm giving you a second to think about it, so play along. Did you come up with something? Now think about where you are and where you're from. Does that affect what a pumpkin is to you? I bet it does. I'm from the United States. I grew up in a small town in northern Michigan. Like a population of about 1,000 sized small town. And when I think about pumpkins, the first thing that comes to mind are chilly fall afternoons, wandering through pumpkin patches, stuffing my face with pumpkin pie, and carving jack-o'-lanterns for Halloween. But there's a cultural difference here. In many parts of the world, pumpkins are an important year-round staple, not a seasonal flavor. If you asked someone in Egypt what they think of when they hear the word pumpkin, I bet they would say something completely different than I did. So, have you guessed what we're talking about today? Imad Mahdi, a visiting researcher and PhD candidate at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, recognized the importance of pumpkins in Egypt. As lead author of a research study on the topic, he traveled across Egypt asking local farmers to share some pumpkin seeds with him. Then the seeds were tested, analyzed, and categorized based on different nutrition and genetic factors. Now, I know how I would react to a stranger coming up to my door asking for a handful of my livelihood. I'd probably close the door in their face out of distrust. Imad expected that too, but he said that wasn't the case.
Yeah. First, I didn't think like the farmers will cooperate with us because they conserved it for a long time, but for themselves. They were okay with this, and but they wanted to make sure we are not giving it to the next door farmers so they can compete with them on the same variety.
The seeds contain nutritious fats and proteins, and the fruit contains vitamins A, C, and E. And local farmers have been growing them for what seems like forever. But new commercial seeds introduced by agriculture corporations are threatening these local species and raise concerns about food security. With all this in mind, Imad's team's goal was to determine what types of pumpkins are the best fit in the local environments for future breeding to create improved pumpkins for conservation.
Yeah, I saw like people grow pumpkin like locally, and they use their own seeds. They grow pumpkin and extract the seeds from them and keep it for the following season and so on. I thought why don't we collect the seeds and see how they are different from each other, like in terms of production, in terms of genetics, in terms of, for the sake of conservation of these local varieties.
That was Imad explaining why he did the research in Egypt to me. The key point there is the conservation of local varieties. These local pumpkin seeds have been cultivated over generations to adapt to the local environment and produce the best possible yield. One type of any plant can't be successful in every environment. It's important we play to the crop's strengths. In my conversation with him, I compared this to growing a palm tree in the northern United States. There's a reason we don't see palm trees up here, because they're native to more tropical climates. That's where they thrive. Timothy Randier, a professor in environmental conservation at the University of Massachusetts, who was also an author on the study, explains how crucial this concept is a bit better than I do.
Having these types of diverse biodiversity on a landscape level is actually critical. It's just like spreading your risk on a landscape. So these land races are some sort of adapted to their local conditions where they are tested over loss of, low moisture levels, high temperature levels. In spite of that, they give so much of benefits, the human health benefits, like antioxidants. And so it'll be a pity to lose them just because they are not broadly cultivated. We wanted to develop a breed of pumpkin where it can handle high stress with low water levels, high amount of temperature. We need those genetic materials to do that.
And Imad puts it into perspective with a global issue like climate change.
Like the conservation of these varieties will help us, like in case of climate change, the diversity is very important. So we can have like, we can avoid the risks of climate events, and we can have something for everything. We can have varieties that can tolerate the hot weather. Right? But if we lose them, we can't get them back. So we want to conserve them. We want to develop like new varieties that can tolerate the new climate changes or new hot weather.
In February, the study was published in the journal Springer Nature. The results show there are significant differences in the nutritional value of the types of pumpkins, and these can be identified, which means the local pumpkins can be used to grow future pumpkins that are well adapted to the environment and nutritious. They're specifically interested in a pumpkin grown in Upper Egypt that was well adapted to the warmer climate, Imad said. The researchers are continuing to work on analysis of the pumpkins for this project, as well as applying this method to other crops around the world, like quinoa and zucchini. But according to Timothy, they also think it's important to look at questions around food security and connecting food to things like climate and energy needs to solve issues communities are facing.
One emerging issue is the food security, which we don't talk about. I think there are food deserts, there is access in different places, which is not there. For fresh vegetables or fruits. There's also food security related to some communities don't have complete access during certain seasons, so you have to rely upon imported food, which is of low nutritional quality, and so there's a public health effects, environmental justice questions. All those things are very, very emerging one in terms of food security, but this type of analysis can be extended to those vital community supporting crops and fruits and vegetables to just understand how we could actually enhance their local varieties and make use of them, and also enhance more local consumption, you know, especially the people becoming engaged with local production process of farms. And so the research, these types of research can help us to actually appreciate and classify and look for opportunities to improve them with, so that we could actually serve local people in a better way.
So why does all of this matter? Once we lose diverse local crops, we can't get them back. I'll leave you with a quote from Timothy that really stuck with me after the interview.
Local varieties are often, I would say, not appreciated much in terms of their uniqueness, because we focus on some attributes which we like mass production of certain things. But local varieties are worldwide, have huge potential for disease resistance, tolerating stress, tolerating salinity, a lot of things. And so the main why people should care is these are very rich genetic material, which you cannot afford to lose. And losing them means they're gone forever. People should care for their local varieties because they are there in the ecosystem, they are adapted to the ecosystem, and they're going to support the local people, and they're going to sustain the local people's livelihoods for a longer period rather than importing from somewhere else.
With that, we've reached the end of another Food Fix episode. If you're interested in learning more about today's topic, the study is linked in the episode description. And as always, before I leave you to go about your day or night, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We release a new episode every Tuesday at 5 a.m. You can join me right back here for the next episode on Tuesday, August 2nd, if you're interested in hearing more. Until then, you can follow us and reach out on Facebook and Twitter at MSU Food Fix to join in on the conversation. While you're there, please leave a comment with your answers to my pumpkin questions in the introduction. I'd love to hear from you. And if you're looking for other ways to support the pod, The Food Fix is now available on many of your favorite podcast platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts. This podcast is brought to you by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism, and I've been your host, Taylor Holterman. You've been listening to The Food Fix.